If you need a copy of the lesson tonight, if you'll hold up your hand, our ushers will get that to you. Michael's back there. And see anyone who needs a copy of the lesson. We are studying our last lesson in this series of the End Time Believer. We have covered the signs that we have to lead us to believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. When Pastor Kenny and I were talking about this, Kenny said how that those pronouns are very significant in the Bible. Remember the Apostle Paul said, "We which are alive and remain." He didn't say they. The Apostle Paul was looking for the Lord to come in His time. And those words are important in the Scripture to take the Bible as it is and what it says. And we've seen the importance of the pre-trib rapture. We've covered that. We've covered the signs of the end, and now we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ, which is very relevant for end-time believers to understand this. All believers should, but especially with those of us who are living in these last days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return at the rapture. There's three major passages that talk about, explain it, and it will take place sometime just after the rapture of the saints. In this period of the church, the age of grace, dispensation of grace. And so we get our understanding of the judgment seat of Christ from these. 1 Corinthians 3:10, 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Romans 14, 10 through 12, which we will be looking at through the lesson. And many other places that the judgment seat of Christ is covered many places in the Scripture. First of all, we're going to go to John chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And notice here that the Bible says, John chapter 5, verse 22, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son," unto Jesus, "that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." Now, as we look at these passages concerning the judgment seat of Christ, all judgment is committed to the Son. Notice the "all men" there. And we're going to see this come out over and over. It's like the Bible is trying to emphasize to us that every one of us going to have to go, all believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to have to go through this judgment seat of Christ. So we notice that if you go now back to Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, and we'll look at, start at verse 10 there in Romans chapter 14. Verse 10 and 11. It says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand." Did you see that? Notice, I want you to notice how many times this is emphasized. "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. For then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Over and over again, we see that, especially there in verse 12. Every one of us. Nobody's going to escape it. Nobody's going to get away from it. All of us, number one there, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's all believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the lost will stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, which takes place after the 7-year tribulation period, after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Then there is the judgment, the great white throne judgment, where the lost of all ages will be before the Lord. But the judgment seat of Christ is for believers. And all of us, according to the Scripture, will stand before the Lord. And Matthew chapter 12, if you look at this, in Matthew chapter 12, These scriptures are very clear. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word, there's every coming up again, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word. Now, an idle word is a word that has really no purpose. It doesn't accomplish any purpose, a correct purpose. It's just an idle word. It's not a word that should be used. And then notice that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in this account of the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10, it says here, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you notice? Must all appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice this, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear, every one may receive. Every one. Comes over and over again. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible is very clear in emphasizing this, that none of us believers in Jesus Christ are going to escape this judgment. Not going to happen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons, there going to be any respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. No respect of persons and every man's work. It's emphasized again and again when we look at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two there in your notes is one reason for laboring for Christ. Our reason for laboring for Christ is to be accepted of Him. Looking back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, from whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. So our reason for laboring for Christ, certainly it's the love we have for Him and giving Him Himself for us. We love Him because He first loved us. But also, we want to be accepted of Him. We want to please Him, just like He worked to please the Father when He was here upon the earth. Matthew 6:33, remember what Jesus said? He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so to please the Lord in all that we do, that's one of the things. We want to be accepted of Him when we stand before this judgment seat of Christ. Now notice, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10 here, we will be judged according to what we have done, whether good or bad. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, working to be accepted of Him, acceptable unto Him, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Nobody gets out of it, of this judgment seat of Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll start there in verse 1, read through verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then every man, there it is again, and then shall every man have praise of God. So no one is going to escape this judgment, and we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to receive, whether it be good or bad. So notice in number 4 here that this judgment has to do with receiving the things done in our bodies. And notice there in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 5, if you go back over there. Notice what I put in the note there about it is in the singular, his body. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Each believer should be concerned about himself, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10 here. We're all going to have to stand before this judgment, but I'm not going to be judged for you, and you're not going to be judged for me. I'm going to be judged for me, and you will be judged for you. He puts it singular there, his body. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so notice here that we have this judgment has to do with how well we have lived for Christ since we were saved. How well we have lived for Christ since we were saved. It is not a judgment of sin to determine destination, whether we'll be in heaven or hell, but it's a judgment of actions, or you might could say performance. It's a judgment of how we have handled the word of life, how we have lived our life for Christ. That's what this judgment will involve. It is not a judgment against sin. Sin was judged at the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said in John 19:30, "It is finished." In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So this is not to judge us for sins. This is to judge us for how we have performed. And we will receive in our bodies, whether it be good or bad, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So the motivation now to perform well, Paul brings out here in verse 11 of chapter 5. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. God is a God full of compassion, grace, and mercy, kindness, but He is also a just God, and He is also a God who does not tolerate disobedience, sin in our lives. The motivation to perform well is the terror of the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, where we have another passage dealing with this judgment seat of Christ, the day shall declare it, the judgment seat of Christ. We read there in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let, here it is again, every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. To take heed. We are warned to take heed how we live our lives. Because there's coming a time when we are going to stand before the Lord, and as Romans 14:12 there says, every man shall give an account of himself. And that's number one there. We will give account of ourselves. We will give account someday for how we have lived since we came to know Jesus Christ. Now there's a catch to that, and I'll mention that on further down the notes. And you'll see something here concerning the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10, we're warned to take heed how we live our lives. We must be careful not to deny the Lord in our daily lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him, which we are. We are dead to sin in Christ, and ye who are dead to trespasses and sin, in trespasses and sin, we're made alive in Christ, the Bible tells us. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So the Bible makes it very clear here, verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we take this verse 15 kind of out of its context, because it's talking about there that we won't be ashamed when we stand before the Lord. And if we deny him, when it says he will also deny us, we must compare Scripture with Scripture. It doesn't mean we lose our salvation. I'm not talking about that. Talking about being denied the rewards, the things that we will receive for doing what we should have done for Christ. We will lose those things. We will be ashamed. We're going to see that more as we go through this judgment seat of Christ. So notice, we must be careful not to deny the Lord in our daily lives. There are many ways that we can deny him. It's failure to pray. That's a denial of the Lord. Failure to give, as the Lord has taught us to give. Failure to go, failure to witness. Failure to seek God's will for a life. That's a denial of the Lord. Failure to be submitted to his will. We'll bring that out a little later as we look down these verses in 6 and 7 here in the notes. So we have the categories of this judgment are brought out to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The categories are brought out. He says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's no other means of salvation. There's no other way to be freed from our sin than to acknowledge to God that we are a sinner, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We know that death is not only physical death, it's spiritual death. In a lake of fire forever, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. But we know the way escape from of our sin is Jesus Christ. He paid the price there upon the cross. And the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the foundation. That's the way that we are saved. Now, verse 12 says, If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, if you read on down, we're talking about the temple of God. We're talking about that our bodies are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Well, you can't build a very attractive temple with wood, hay, and stubble. It just doesn't build a very good temple. If you're going to build a temple, you use things like gold, silver, precious stones. So he's talking about here good works versus bad works. The gold, silver, precious stones represent good works, and the wood, hay, and stubble, they represent bad works. And the categories determine the reward. Now, the Bible mentions, and I'm not going to go to these verses, I just put them in there for your reference, it mentions several crowns that are mentioned that believe in the Scripture that are believers can receive, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. And these crowns are given for different areas of faithful service, of serving the Lord. We've spent some time in the past, we went through all the crowns and looked at them in detail and followed through all the scriptures concerning them and what they involved, and they just involved faithful living for Christ and serving Christ in various different areas. And if you go back to Revelation chapter 4, when the scene here is in heaven, the 24 elders seem to picture the church there that is in heaven. And in chapter 4, the last two verses, it says the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Remember, we were created for Him, by Him and for Him, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. And so these crowns, what will we do with them? We'll cast them at His feet. So the answer there, the question there is, will I have any to cast? Have I lived my life in such a way that I would have crowns to cast at His feet? If you go back to this Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 5, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And chapter 10 and verse 5 says, He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. To sleep in harvest. Remember Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest? He said, Pray you therefore laborers in the harvest. And he that sleepeth in harvest, here's a believer that not doing what they ought to be doing for Christ causes shame, the Bible says. If you look down there to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 at the bottom of the notes there, it says, And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Someday we are going to stand before this judgment seat of Christ. Will we stand there ashamed? Will we have no crown, no reward of anything to give to Him? Will we be denied those things? Will He deny us? Will we be shamed there? Will it cause shame for us? Look at these verses that I put in here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so we have here the Apostle Paul giving instruction to the church at Corinth, and they had become very worldly, and he told them that they were feasting, they were not taking the Lord's table seriously. And so he tells us to let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This thing of judging ourselves so that we will stand well at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 1:9, we know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone may say, well, you know, Pastor, I haven't really lived for the Lord like I should. Well, then confess it and start doing what you should. And you know what will happen? You will stand well at the judgment seat of Christ. Because all of that, if you confess it and you determine to do what you should do for the Lord and you try to do that, you say, well, the time's short. I've lived a long time in my life and I have done a lot of things I shouldn't have done as a Christian. And so, look, God's Word teaches if you'll confess your sin, turn from it, confess it, and start doing what you should be doing, you will get just as much reward as a Christian who has lived their life for the Lord. If you start doing it now and you do it until the time that Jesus comes. It's not something that the Lord is a just God. He is a gracious God. He is full of compassion and grace and mercy. And the whole idea is He wants us to serve Him and to live Himself for Him. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he says what the damnation is about there, he says, is for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So it's not talking about losing salvation. It's talking about bringing the chastening hand of the Lord upon us and possibly even bringing early death because we failed to do what we should have done for Christ. And then we will stand before the Lord with nothing there to present. 2 John 8, only one chapter there, and verse 8 of 2 John makes this very clear, that the believer who has served the Lord and then just gets away from it, it's possible to lose what you have done. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. If you find 43, then you have a different version, because it isn't there. I don't know how I typed 43 there, but I did. Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Here it says, for he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In other words, God says you will be rewarded for even those little things that you do if you will remain faithful and seeking to do the Lord's will. Look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. This is speaking of the millennial reign of Christ. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. So the Bible teaches that special reward in the millennial reign of Christ, in ruling and reigning with Christ. And that's what he said there in 2 Timothy 2. We should reign with him. And if not, then he will deny us. We won't have that privilege. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through verse 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's an important thing, to keep our heart right with the Lord in doing what we ought to do in all areas of our life. Treasure can be in the area of talents, can be in the area of finances, and using our talents for the Lord is a treasure as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's just catch this one quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And then look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Here's the parable of the talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And you can read that whole account there. And he also, verse 22, that had received two talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And you can read on down. There was one who just hid his and didn't use his talent for the Lord. And the Lord was not pleased with that. On down you also read in verses 24 through, I think it's 24 to 28. He brings that out. And then there is also the parable of the pounds in Luke 19, where he brings out similar, that those who served, God was pleased. Those who didn't, God wasn't pleased. And you can read Luke 19 later. You can read all of Matthew 25 there. We don't have time tonight to go into detail with those, but Jesus taught those parables, and they bring out the same point, that He wants us to live for Him, and He will reward us if we do. And number 7 here, the fire, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at this in a little more detail here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we finish out. He says, in verse 13, he said, now in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that's good work, wood, hay, stubble, bad work, every man's work, notice the every man again, work shall be made manifest, for the day, that's the judgment seat of Christ, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. Is it gold, silver, precious stone? Of course, would abide the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble? They would burn up quickly. And so we have the Bible making it clear here that we will be judged for whether we have done what we should have done for Christ or if we haven't. And the fire indicates the terror of the Lord here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just read on down. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And those rewards I listed out, some of them there. There's many places, many things that the Lord talks about of rewarding us for faithful service. And it says, if any man's work shall be burned, that means he had the wood, hay, stubble. It didn't abide the fire. It was bad works. They were vain works. It didn't amount to anything for Christ. It might not necessarily be evil. It might not necessarily be a sin of some sort. It might just be they didn't do what they're supposed to do for the Lord. Wasn't concerned about the Lord's will. Wasn't concerned about living for Christ. Wasn't concerned about doing what God wanted them to do in their life. And so that if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. That's not loss of salvation. If you're talking about loss of salvation, then you have to scratch out the rest of this verse. Because it says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And when we see that, yet so as by fire, we remember Lot. Remember Lot? He went down to Sodom and he ended up losing his whole family there because he was interested in the wealth of Sodom and what Sodom had to offer. And instead of bringing his children and his wives and his daughters and their husbands the Lord, it seems like that he was more interested in sitting in the gate and judging and had gotten a position of prominence in Sodom, and he only escaped by fire. God brought him out. And when he came out, he had nothing. He lost everything. Lot is a picture of this yet so as by fire. We stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. There's nothing. We're just saved by fire, by God Himself, His Word. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We believed in His shed blood, but we refused to be obedient to His Word, as we're going to see here in just a moment. So Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Verse 17, he says, we'll read on here. He says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I'm not talking about losing our salvation. It's talking about this body being destroyed, possibly the sin unto death, where we are taken to heaven prematurely. We become sickly, as he said there in 1 Corinthians 11. And let no man deceive himself, verse 18. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And so he makes it clear that he doesn't take it lightly when we dishonor his name. Those of us who have just read Hebrews chapter 10, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we don't take that seriously, we don't live for Christ, we're not faithful in serving him, not faithful to church, not faithful to doing the things that we ought to do, we're not going to fare well at this judgment seat of Christ. If you look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, very quickly here as we finish up this up tonight, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, Jesus here, as he's about to inspect his churches, the seven churches there that are example for us, picture the different ages of the church age, different areas. In Revelation chapter 1, look how he appears here in verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. He doesn't take lightly those who take lightly his Son, who washed us from our sins, saved us and set us free, and commissioned us to be bearers of the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to share the gospel news with those around us, to try to reach our neighbors and our friends with the gospel. It doesn't take that lightly when we neglect our responsibility. And notice we will be judged by Jesus, John 5:22 to 23. We will be judged by Jesus, the Word. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now remember that Jesus is called the Word in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is called the Word of God because the Word is all about Him. In Revelation 19, His name is the Word of God. And we will be judged by the Word of God, by Jesus, the Word Himself, and what is written here in this book, the Word of God. Did we conform our lives to it? How well did we conform to how this book teaches that we should live? That's going to come up in the judgment seat of Christ. Did we take it seriously? Jeremiah 23:29 says that, "Is not my word like as a fire?" And then in 2 Timothy, notice what it tells us here. We often overlook this. Remember I told you that 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We take that with the idea that we'd be ashamed because of our biblical interpretation. But if you look at it in its context, we'll be ashamed because we didn't conform our lives. We didn't study it and try to live by the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, putting it to work in our life and living for Christ like we should. In 2 Timothy now, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So we notice here that Psalm 119, the Bible has been given to us as our instruction book. When we stand before the Lord, if you compare these scriptures together, He says, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Here it is. Here's the word that He's spoken in Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So at the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to stand before the Lord and be judged according to how we have lived according to this book. And if we have done well, we'll hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we will receive rewards. If we haven't done well, we will lose rewards. And may even be for some to really be ashamed and to not be confident, like He says here. "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him in His coming." So it challenges us to live for Christ, to examine our lives, to look our lives over and say, "Am I doing what I should be doing for Christ?" Remember, 1 John 1:9, if we confess it, we can start over from right here, and we can gain that "well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if we choose to just take a deaf ear, you know, we read those verses. If I'd have read on, it says, "He that hath ears," there in Revelation chapter 1, and one of the passages says, "He that hath ears, let him hear." Will we have ears? Will we hear? Or will we close our ears and, "We heard the lesson tonight, but it's not going to faze me. I'm going to continue to live the way I live. I'm satisfied with my life." Well, it doesn't matter whether you're satisfied. At the judgment seat of Christ, it will matter is He satisfied? And that's what we need to do, is examine ourselves. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I know that if you had committed a crime in your life and the time was coming when you had to stand before the judge to be judged, you haven't been arrested or anything, but you're going to have to go before the judge and defend yourself. I know that as that time drew closer, you would start working on yourself to be presentable, to think about what you were going to say, to think about how you would be accepted by this judge. Why is that not true in our lives as believers when we are about to face the judgment seat of Christ? Why is it not affecting our lives? Why are we content to go on with our lack of prayer, our lack of Bible study, our lack of witnessing for Christ, our lack of really getting concerned about living the Word of God, the living Word itself, that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil? Is it because maybe we're not really looking for Him to come? Is it maybe because we are content in the way that we live? The end-time believer of all believers should be really concerned that very soon we are going to stand before the Lord. We have a job to do. It's always been an important job, but it really has become a necessary. It's always been necessary, but it's become more necessary in the day and time we live, as the days of evil and these last times of darkness are creeping in on the earth. But yet we seem to be getting more lax. The end time believer, those are those eight lessons. It should say lesson eight up there at the top. I forgot to put that in there. But this is the final lesson. Brother Kenny will be taking over next Wednesday night and starting another series. And I hope that the end time believer series will challenge you and me to be more faithful in serving Jesus Christ. We're just about to hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout. That's about to happen. And we ought to be concerned that we're going to stand before the Lord. And we want to stand well as a church and as individual believers in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this series of lessons that spoke in my heart to try to be more faithful in serving you. We remember the scripture there in the Old Testament where you said you remember our frame and you know that we are but dust and you know that we fail. But you also told us if we just confess it, we'll confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to keep our focus right. Help us to try to do the things that please you in these last times that we live. We're just like Paul. We're looking for Jesus to come. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we remember what our Lord said there in one of the parables that He taught, occupy till I come. Help us to be busy until the Lord does come, or until you take us home. We thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.